Hello, welcome to the Jock and Journo show for another week. It is getting excitingly close to the business end of the season. September just around the corner, and Collingwood a massive chance to play a big part in finals action. I'm Jay Clark, and I want to say hello to the captain of the Collingwood Football Club. Five-time Copeland Trophy winner, five-time All-Australian, and he's sitting in front of me with his pants down with some ice on his leg. Well, you got a corky there, mate, or what's the story?
Yeah, I do. Just a little corky from the weekend.
Yep.
Yeah, so just a little bit of ice, but I'm well, Jay. How are you?
I'm well, mate. Yeah, that's good. Good to see you. Hello, Sammy Gaston. You're the man behind the scenes who makes
Hello,
all
boys.
This work. Now, it's Tuesday today.
Yep.
You've sort of been complaining about some of the tunes the players play. How is today's music at the club?
Yeah, well, today's been rough, as all the days. I've been keeping these complaints in for a very long time. But our office is right next to the gym, so yep. The tunes are pumping, yep. And quite often they're very, very average.
Like the first weights group is all like the sort of turbos. So like the guys who just get in there, put their, what they call bangers on,
right,
and they just go, like, there wouldn't be a word for 45 minutes, and it's just tunes, as they like to call it, mm-hmm. And it's just absolute filth.
So who's the worst? Who's got
Croc.
The worst?
Well, I think it's the worst. Like, there's no words. It's just heavy beats, as I like to call it.
Oh, that's
so it's just like rave sort of crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the older guys come in the second group. And,
yep.
You know, sometimes we'll get our phones out. And today we had some old school R&B, so a bit of Biggie.
Oh,
it was a
bit of TLC. Cool.
Yeah.
Don't go chasing waterfalls. Bit of that?
Yeah, a little bit of that, mate. But it's good. You see everyone when the old school stuff on start,
they
the
like
mood
it.
Lifts and everyone starts singing along a bit. And
yeah.
Shift the steel a little bit better. And
we work a bit harder in the office. We work a bit harder in the office. Picks everyone up.
So I'm a man who likes to please many.
What is the, does the coach ever get on the decks? Does he ever put anything on?
No, his office is way out the back.
Okay.
So
stay out of our way.
Oh, yeah, he just does yoga. No music in yoga.
As I said, finals only a couple of weeks away, Scotty. And normally, with 13 wins, it's a big milestone for a footy club, because normally that's enough to secure a finals berth, which is a big tick for any footy team. But this year's a bit different, mate. You probably still need one more win. Before we move on, how do you feel about things so far?
Yeah, I think it's been, you know, the last, I think we'd won one out of our last four. I think we lost, like, it was, or something like that. It was like Richmond, Sydney, we got done.
Yep.
West Coast, done. North had a win. But we felt like we were playing some really solid blocks of footy. Even against Sydney, we felt like we played really good game of footy. Just the third quarter, we let it really slip away. And
just Buddy Franklin, you mean?
Yeah, well, he had 10 shots on goal out of, I think, there. I don't know, was it the 14 for the game?
18,
so,
yep.
You know, and losing Darcy in that game, and, you know, Jack Madgen comes in for his first game, and before you know it, he's standing next to Buddy Franklin. So fairly daunting. But we felt like, yeah, that was probably one game that we let slip, and it was, it was good to bounce back with a, I'd say probably, again, another really good three-quarter performance apart from the first quarter on the weekend, because I think everyone acknowledges Brisbane are a lot better than where they sit on the ladder. They they can move the ball really well. They defend really well, and they've got some real star power in their side. So, we knew it was a game where we had to be on, and we sort of weren't on in that first quarter. I think we were under the pump, 22 inside 50s to 6. But our backs held up really well. We only gave away 7 shots, and it got come into quarter time, and we'd sort of been dominated. You look up the scoreboard, we're only 11 points down. So, and then we turned the corner from there. It was great having Big Plugger back in the forward line, Jordy DeGoey, and I think he had 10 shots on goal in his return game. So
Plugger,
yeah, he's handy, that kid, isn't he?
New nickname or not?
No, I like to call him Plugger because he's pretty commanding, isn't he, when he comes out of the goal square. He just seems to draw the footy. He's a phenomenal player. He, like we were saying after the game, he probably could have kicked 8, and it wouldn't have been like, wow, he's kicked 8. It's sort of, he had 8 really gettable shots at goal.
Why has it clicked for him, you reckon?
I speak about this a bit, but I think just time in the system and the game now started to slow down a little bit for him. He's not rushed out there anymore. You see him take guys on because he's just got such a good feel. And he's about 6'3.5" and 95 kilos, so he's a fairly unique guy to play on because he's so quick.
It's like Dusty.
But he's bigger. You know, he's bigger than Dusty. Like, Dusty's, I think, 6'2", probably 90 kilos, where Geordie's like 95 and almost 6'4". So it's sort of like Paddy Cripps type stuff. So,
jeepers.
He's exciting player and crucial for us moving forward.
Is it, this might be tricky, is he making better choices off the field?
Yeah, well, he's not allowed to drive a car because he still doesn't have his license. So he's no, but I think he is. I think I
because he wasn't always getting that right.
Yeah, but I think when you start playing really good footy like this, and you see that what you're doing off field, how big of an impact it's had on the field. You know, he hasn't touched alcohol all season, and you know that was his call to do that. And I think when you start playing footy this well, and you get momentum, and it clicks for you, you realise everything that you do leads to you know your performance on the weekend, your preparation throughout the week, and getting the best out of every day. So yeah, he's been super this year, and yeah, like I think too, he's just maturing. He's come in as an 18-year-old, you know, you achieved your dream, you're at a footy club, yeah, and now he really appreciates the opportunity that he's got, and he loves getting out there. And I know even the 2 weeks that he missed, it killed him to miss two games, especially Richmond and Sydney. Like that really hurt for him to not be able to play those two games.
From your perspective, right, and we haven't spoken about this, but was that the hardest thing you've had to do as captain? Like when he sort of messed up again and you had to sit down and go through all that with him, knowing that he'd sort of stuffed up a couple of times before and you guys collectively have got to come up with some outcomes and a path forward. Like in hindsight, did you find that was one of the hardest things you've had to do or?
Not really probably one of the hardest things. It's just more sort of like how can we get through the message that we want to Geordie while still showing that we care, but it's going to
but
be
it hadn't
pretty,
been that,
it's
hadn't
going
to been, be, have got through before.
Yeah, but it's going to be a pretty hard stance, but we needed to let him know that this isn't about, and the message that come out, it's not about him as a footballer, because we all trust him implicitly on the football field and we know what he can do, but it's like, how can we make him a better person or give him the chance to become a better person off the field by making better choices? And yeah, and I think it was probably one of those, you know, light bulb moments for Geordie too, that he's not just a young kid who can get away with stuff. You know, football is such in the public eye, playing for Collingwood, playing the way he plays now. Like, you know, we had to see last week, Bucks mentioned his haircut. It's on the back page of the Herald Sun that Geordie DeGoe's got a new haircut. So he knows that he's in a different situation to a lot of people now. You know, he's a big figure in this town and
he is.
Everywhere he goes type stuff. So he's figured that out and he knows – you know, his way around that, and he enjoys the quieter life now, I think.
Mm-hmm. I find that interesting because you're not dealing with a person on their first mistake. You know, when it gets to the second, third, fourth, for anyone, not just football or whatever, you know, how do you, as you said, get through to a person when you potentially haven't previously, you know, and maybe like everyone you make mistakes in life and it's just taken him a bit of time to mature.
Yeah.
But holy hell, has it worked this year for him? Because is he top five in your best and fairest, do you reckon? I know he's missed some footy.
I'd say if he hadn't missed footy, I think he'd probably missed six games for the year maybe or five. Okay. Or probably four games. Did he miss the first two?
Probably two and two, wouldn't it be? Two at the start and
missed
these two.
The first two.
He can
and
still
then
give it a shake.
He'd be all Australian moral as a forward.
This year, you reckon?
Absolutely.
Despite missing games?
He's missed four. There's players in the comp who've had four bad games.
Do you reckon he's All-Australian, guess?
I reckon he'd be just out.
Because he's competing against Dusty and Danger in that spot, isn't he?
Yeah, but he plays a lot more four. Those guys play 50-50.
Yeah.
Geordie, for me, he's like unbelievable. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. He has to be in the squad. Probably not a lock for... because sheer number of goals he hasn't got compared to other people, but yeah, his impact is phenomenal.
I reckon I like the aliens test, right? So in terms of the All-Australian stuff, who would you pick if you're playing the aliens to save planet Earth, right? Yourself, Joel Selwood, Paddy Cripps would be guys I would have to save planet Earth, right?
Yeah.
In the same equation, I would have Geordie to go in a pocket.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, that's I suppose the big one's always traditionally like the ruck spot. With all Australian, it's like only pick one rock, one ruck.
Two this year.
It has to be two this year.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is like, because we're talking clearly about Brody and Max Gawn.
Yeah.
But it's like, you pick two, but guess what? One of them will be disappointed because one starts on the bench and one ruck. So the guy who gets the ruck spot's like, well, they picked me over you.
Yeah.
So.
I'll probably go Max too, by the way.
Yeah.
In the first ruck.
Yeah, I wouldn't, but I'd go Brody.
We should have a coffee on that.
Yeah.
At the end of the year. And this week against Port Adelaide,
but
Paddy
anyway,
Ryder's
I think
out.
Geordie would be close to winning our best and fairest, I suppose, from the original question. Would be top five.
Sometimes.
Probably Brody or Geordie, I reckon. They've been phenomenal.
Yeah. Brody has had an excellent
year. I'd love to know when the last time a Collingwood Ruckman won a BNF.
Monkhorst?
Oh, I don't know. But it's funny though, because Brody is a ruckman, but as we say, like, you can have the most dominant ruckman in the comp, like Sanderlands, and all teams can set up for it. The advantage Brody creates for us is his ability to be a midfielder really quickly. Yeah. That's where the true advantage lies.
You know what? And in further to that conversation, this is the enigma about Geelong at the moment, because they've got three superstar ruckmen and
three midfielders.
Three superstar on ballers, right? And if they, with Reece Stanley, I don't understand why they're not more successful from the clearance. With those three guys, if they're reading the opposition's tap, how are they?
Yeah, it's very hard though, because if you're...
is it?
Yeah, it is, because if you're reading, you're reactive. So you can't just like roll the dice off your guy and just be like, I'm going to try and get through there. Because one's if he doesn't hit it there. So it's more like, I'll... Say if say this week Brody didn't play, Coxie was out, we had like... Stealing the ruck. And yeah. I was on you.
Yeah.
I would be on you, trying to, wherever you move, I'm on you like a tagger almost.
Yeah.
And the ball lands in our area, I'm going to try and beat you from that play. But you're always going to be half a step in front of the clearance type situation. So it's not like sort of, oh, you just shark the opposition ruck. Because it's like you can't just run blindly through a gap.
But it can only go so many spots.
Well, it can go a lot of spots when you think about it. There's three midfielders at the front, and you can hit it to about 12 different spots. So it's almost like the clock. Seriously, you look at a clock and it's got 12 numbers on it. Every team can work that compass.
Yeah.
So, it's a little bit tricky. And that's where your high halfbacks, high half forwards, wingers play a role in closing down that outer bubble.
This is where, when I played footy, Scotty, when I was a battler down in Geelong, I used to always try and work out the code for the opposition's ruckman, because I would just try and read what they were talking about, and then you knew every time.
Yeah, well, Sydney back in the day had like Bondi.
Suburbs.
Coogee or whatever. And I was just like, well... This is great, but I don't understand the compass too well, so I don't know where Bondi is from here. So I'll just man up.
Well, speaking about your midfield, can you tell us about Tay Adams? If I'm reading this right, since Adam Treloar's gone down, I reckon Tay Adams has stepped up. I reckon he's had probably, I don't know, the best month or two of his career at Collingwood. Is that an overstatement? Yeah.
I think he's just sort of back to that form, probably if not a little bit better than the form that he displayed for a lot of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the balance shifted when Adzi went out, because we had such a, you know, there was everyone fit, healthy around the ball. So
it's a big loss.
Yeah, well, you lose Adzi, and Tay's probably stepped up and taken a fair chunk of that role. But when there was Adzi, myself, Steele, Tay, Cal Brown, Braden Sire, like you all step back a little bit, because you know you've got to share the load. And Tay would say it would much rather have Adzi in the side, because it shares the load and whatever. But yeah, he's stepped up massively, and his game against Sydney, his game again on the weekend, Richmond has all been first class. He's in an understaff, his pressure around the footy is so good, and he's on the weekend you sort of just notice his intensity around the footy, around the clearances. He just reads it so well. Him and Brody have got a really strong connection, and hopefully we get Adzi Treloar back soon. Which would be nice. He was running around today having a kick and doing some scooter activity.
He would be confident of coming back, I'm guessing.
I actually, in all seriousness, I haven't really had a chat with him, because I know that he's in rehab and he's doing everything he can. And like, if he gets back, in my mind, and he's ready, that he'll play.
Yeah.
And he's like, he looks like he's ticking boxes and flying, because he's always progressing and he's always got a smile on his face and moving forward pretty quickly.
I think Nicky Del Santo came back from the same hamstring tendon surgery in about 10 weeks. I think Treloar's at about 7 now.
Yeah.
So if you make it to a second final, maybe preliminary final, that's when he probably comes into the mix, if he can build his fitness enough. I mean, because there's going to be a concern about just match fitness, isn't there?
This week would be 8, following week would be 9, the bye week would be 10.
Right.
So, I think
you've done the best.
Yeah, well, it wasn't that hard to count 3 more weeks. So. I went to school. I reckon he'll give himself a chance. That's all. I reckon if you were injured at the moment and your side's going in finals, all you want is a chance.
Yeah.
So you can sniff something, that you can chase something that motivates you. Because if our season was done in potentially 2 weeks' time, it'd be really hard for him to – well, they probably wouldn't be pushing him to get back.
Mm.
You know, so that'd be the toughest part about being injured.
This is where the pre-finals buy, I think, is great. I love it, because it gives, you know, it gives you guys a freshen up. We get excited to talk about the matches upcoming for a weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, it gives those injured players that extra week to get back. Like the Western Bulldogs a few years ago, Libman McRae or whatever, would these guys got back and took them to a flag. So I don't mind that.
Yeah, I reckon it's a good chance to just sort of have a reset too. Yep. And as you said, it builds like the what I've noticed, because I initially didn't really like it, but it builds the fanfare, the stories, the coverage of your team training, all that sort of stuff goes nuts. And it does. It's sort of like 2 weeks. The players get a chance to reset a little bit, embrace the hype, and then it's huge. That first final is massive when it comes around, because everyone's just being like starved of footy.
Yeah. Gas, have you just noticed? I've just noticed, I think, for the first time, the scar next to your left eye.
It was I noticed it as soon as you walked in.
Is that where you got cut, or is that an eyebrow ring that we've never...
But split open against Sydney.
Did you?
Yeah.
Who got you?
Oh, I don't know. It was just before. No, I don't. It was just before half time.
The player's code.
No, I seriously don't. It was just before half time. You know, there was a marking contest.
Yeah.
I don't know how I ended up in it, but I was in the marking contest because I usually don't go for those. I just stay on the ground. And I remember running out of the back line and I was like, oh, I feel something on my eye a little bit here. Just looked down. I just had Claritin all over me.
Yeah.
But I prided myself for so many years of not being split open.
Yeah?
Yeah, the pregame Vaseline all over the eyes.
Do you?
Yeah, absolutely.
What is that? How does that help?
Well, because you don't want to get cut, so Vaseline all over the eyes. And plus, my sweat stings. It does. So I put Vaseline all over my forehead pregame and my hair. So it doesn't drip down into my eyes.
So Buddy's oiling up his arms and you've got the best sweat on the forehead.
On the eyebrows.
Yeah, you could ask Ro here, our head trainer, that every week come in, Vaseline. All the boys, all like the first year guys who ever come and play, they're always like, what are you putting in your hair and face? I'm on Vaseline. It goes all over me pre-game.
Right.
Yeah,
So how does it help you?
Well, because I put on my forehead, right? So when the sweat goes there, it runs down the side of my face, not into my eyes. Yeah. It seriously stings.
Right, so I get the sweat funnel aspect.
Yeah.
But does it help you be not tackled or not?
No, well, then I put it near my eyes. So if I get a cut, I'm just hoping the elbow just slips a little bit more or whatever. The Vas is there. Boxers do it. Yeah, MMA people do it to stop cuts. So there might be something in it.
There you go.
Yeah.
So they do it to help the...
No, they do it as well. So like when they get hit, punches and that slip more often because it's not like rough skin or dry skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe look into more facials as well throughout the week.
Smart, mate. Yeah. Because otherwise...
But I got split, so I don't know if my... I think my theory is okay because it's the first time in... 270 games.
You've been cut. Joel Selwood, your good mate, on the other hand, he's the league leader of bleeders, as it was described in a tribunal case.
But he's gone because once you get cut, you've got all the scar tissue there. So it's just like you could get flicked in that spot and he'll be gone now.
Right.
Once a cutter, always a cutter.
Why don't you tell him? Why don't you get on your pass these tips on?
Well, it's too late, mate. He's too far gone.
Oh, good times. Hey, how's that? Oh, Jackie Madgen, last footy question here. So is it right that you are no longer the best basketballer at Collingwood? Because you look at, are you a little bit down about your crown being taken?
No, it's completely up to individual opinion, that one.
Well, have you had a game or not?
Oh, we had a little shoot-around one day. And
Have you played a game or a shoot-around?
No, we had like sort of a modified one-on-one game. He got me by, I think, like 1 or 2 points.
One or two.
13, 11, because you got to win by two. So when I was up 9-10, I missed a dunk on him, which hurt me. So
right.
So Jackie,
he's good.
It's good.
So he can play, huh?
Yeah, he can play. He's good. So he was in the NBL for a couple of years, I think.
Cairns.
And
before that, he was in college?
In college in America, and then Cairns is a development player. And then he's come across to our club here, and he's been super. Like, it's a fair story. Like, I don't think, when he first got here, I would have almost been like I could see.
100 to 1?
No, I could see why he's a cat B. Like, I'm like, good size, good athlete, competitive, but he's got a lot of work. His kicking has improved so much.
Yeah.
I don't think you'd mind me saying this, but when he got here, he probably couldn't hit the backside of a barn. He works so hard on his game. Like, he's now so reliable when he gets the ball, makes great decisions. And he just knows what his strengths and weaknesses are. And to be doing what he's doing after, first year of football in such a long time, playing senior footy, playing a really important role for us. And, he loves it. You watch him when we kick a goal on the weekend, he celebrates as hard as anyone from fullback. So invested in team success. And
that's good.
Yeah, it's great. And he's a ripping fella. And, his story is pretty unique. And as you said, he's probably like that sort of 100 to 1 shot at the start of the year, but just keeps chipping away and opportunity opened and he's ready for it.
Tell you what, there has been, in the past couple of years, there's been a lot of stories, a lot of criticism of Collingwood's drafting and that sort of stuff. There's been some criticism of Geordie there for a while over the past few years. But I tell you what, between Stevenson, the pickup of Sammy Murray, Brody Majacek, who's filled a very important role. Cat B, rookie Jack Madgen. Like, yeah, there's been
Flynn Appleby as well.
Rookie
before he did his hammy. Yeah, we've had. I think we've had a pretty successful, period of time.
Yeah,
but it's one like it's always funny because you hear like clubs' lists get attacked and then their game plans get attacked and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, your list is great, your game style is great. Like it's so it goes hand in hand. You know, if you're playing a good brand of footy, confidence, buy-in's great. All the players are maximising their talents. And then when it goes back a little bit, it's like, oh, the list isn't good. The talent's not there.
Yeah.
The game style's not there. Like, it all ties in so closely. It's never just like, oh, it's the recruiters or it's the coach. It's like, it all ties in so much. Like, you've got to be able to find something that maximises the players' strengths and your list strengths.
That's it. I do think St Kilda is about to implode at the end of the season. And we did say on the Jock and Journo show at the start of the year, who we think is going to go up the ladder, who do we think is going to come a cropper. And I think I did sort of say, Scotty, that I don't want to pat myself on the back here, but
to pat yourself on the back, but
I think we did call it early. Get set for changes at that footy club at the end of the year. Hey, how's the house going, mate? So you're building these great new digs in Elwood. Are you moved in yet?
No, not quite. So we're out of Mount Martha.
Yep.
We're into a little Airbnb in Elwood Park.
Yep.
Just waiting. So I think hopefully that week of the finals, we've moved in to our new dig in Elwood. So
how and when, sorry?
Week leading into the final. So, you know, we've got a bye. That bye week, hopefully, we'll move in.
We'll move in.
Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be nice. Hardwick and Co., the builder down there.
They've done it, have they?
Yeah.
Sebastian. You got a little lap pool on the side?
You got a little pool on the side.
Yeah.
Actually, I was there yesterday because we moved a lot of stuff. Upstairs is basically done.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved Gaster's Lofted over here.
What are you laughing about, Gas?
That was the most unnatural plug of all time.
Yeah. Well, I've given him. I've fucking given him that many plugs. I'm triple M. But I got the lap pool. I went there the other day.
Did you?
And upstairs is pretty much done.
Yeah.
Like we've moved all our bedroom and stuff in up there.
Where's the how's the man cave come
on? Yeah, it's good. We're in like a little bit of an awkward situation with the man loft at the moment.
Do you need some help? Can I counsel you on anything?
Alex is thinking about turning us into like a little wellness area.
Oh, no, you're in trouble.
Yeah, and I was... I've pushed the wellness area at the moment back downstairs.
Good, yeah, good. So she wants like yoga mats and candles and stuff.
No, we're talking like infrared sauna up the top.
Infrared sauna? Yeah,
but we've got...
Hang on. Whoa. What's an infrared sauna? Like, is it like... What is that?
Infrared sauna?
Yeah.
It's... the new whiz bang of saunas, mate. So
is
I'm
it
a big
hot?
Sauna, but yeah, hot. But it's the so you sit in an infrared sauna.
Yeah,
It's probably not as hot as the traditional saunas.
Yeah,
but
yes, your normal sauna.
Yeah, you sit in there for 45 minutes. It
sounds
unbelievable.
Great. Imagine copping a strobe light in your eyeball. Gasps.
No. So it's not like red laser beams all over you.
Well, what is it then?
But or it's just like that's infrared heat. So we're sitting there for 45 minutes and do them. I do them a bit anyway, probably weekly. So
right,
very good.
I prefer a man loft with like a comfy couch.
But yeah, so we've
TV,
got
a little bar fridge.
We're getting the infrared sauna still, but it's going to be going downstairs.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how's your area coming along?
It's going to be pretty vacant to start with.
Right.
So I want to get in there. I want to feel my way through. Standing there, lights.
I think we need to put this out to the Twitter world. What does Scott need in his man loft?
Man cave must-haves, yeah.
Yeah. At SP_10 or Gas, what's a Collingwood one?
Collingwood FC.
There you go.
Yeah. And give me some ideas.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I want to feng shui it though.
What does that mean?
Well, get in there and
feng
just
shui.
Feel it.
Yeah, okay.
Just relax. Close my eyes. All right, TV needs to be there. Table tennis table needs to be there.
Yep.
The Gatorade fridge needs to be over there.
Yep.
That type of stuff.
I don't think you want a table tennis table.
It's a wine fridge or a beer fridge. Oh.
Gatorade, mate.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not a big drinker.
No, I know, but that'll change slightly when you're finished your playing career, Scotty. Yeah, I'm sure you enjoy a red.
I don't mind a red, but I'm not a big drinker of red.
No, but you can still... You know, on a Friday night. We're talking
Friday night, yeah, just before my game, just dabbling a red.
Ah, when you're finished, Scott. Jeepers.
Yeah.
We're talking to your coach on Triple M on Sunday, Triple M Rocks Football. And
that would have been exciting.
It was good. Yeah. And he said that his advice, like after the game, good win over Brisbane, you know, sort of said, how do you come down? And he said that he might have a wine or, you know, a beer or something like that and a packet of cheese twisties, I think he said in the end. Have you got a post-game sort of vice, you know, where you might sort of indulge in something?
Is
like a go-to snack?
No, not really.
Like just fruit or something?
No, just like a strawberry. I don't know. Like, to
it's
be honest,
so uninspiring, isn't it?
Oh, but like, I don't. Some players
you're
are different.
Pizza, surely.
Nah. Day after, like the night or the day after a game, like I'm done. Stick a fork in me after a game, like I'm cooked.
Or you just go straight to sleep.
I just want to go home and just lay on the couch. I can't sleep, but I just want to lay on the couch, almost like curl up in a little ball
and
just
not
lay.
Talk. Do you talk to your wife or?
A little bit. It's a pretty short talk.
Not much.
It's like, yeah, okay, yeah, no. Nah. I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
Okay. Like I just, I got nothing.
You don't really do anything.
I've got nothing to give. Okay. Like, so this Saturday, my parents are staying at my place after the game.
Yep.
So Alex is like, oh, we'll go out and have dinner or something after the game. And
that'd be nice.
I'm just like, oh, I couldn't. Like,
yeah.
I just
you don't want to talk to anyone, do you?
I just don't. I just want to just, like, I actually want to get home and just lay on the couch, curl up in a little ball.
Poor Liza, your mum wants to,
yeah,
you know,
I know.
Spend
I know.
Some time.
But yeah, it's a, like, yeah, some guys have just got like, energy after a game. I'm done.
Yeah.
So the next day, we went out for dinner in Albert Park and we had like these little herb bread things come out before dinner. They were like probably the best thing I've had in a while.
Yeah.
So good. But I don't, yeah, I don't know.
It's not do you
know
an exciting what,
like,
diet,
what? Probably my biggest thing that I feel like after a game is like I'd love like this giant sort of smoothie with just like ice, yep. Like fruit, ice cream, whatever it is in there, just bang, so cold it just sort of refreshes you because I'm so hot after a game.
You're overheated, mate.
Yeah, yeah. Cooked.
The discipline is amazing. Like we obviously talked about this a lot, but sometimes I go home, I just, you know, love having a couple of
blocks of chocolate,
biscuits, or something like that. What do you have, Gas? What's your advice? What do you? What
no,
do you?
I'm on, along the same school of thought as you. Like,
yep.
If
what
I
do you go,
go
for?
Go to the gym after work here. I get home and think, oh, I'll treat myself to a can of Coke.
Yeah.
Even it out.
Yeah, exactly.
No caffeine after 4 o'clock. It affects your sleep.
Yeah.
There you go.
I've tried. I mean, I've started drinking chamomile tea.
Yeah.
At the start, I'm not a tea drinker. So at the start, I put milk in, and I just thought you put milk in herbal tea.
Ugh.
It wasn't great, I'll be honest. So I've learned to take the tea out and...
milk out.
Yeah, that's been okay. Yeah.
So what's your vice then?
Oh, heaps. I've got too many.
Yeah.
I can be a bit of a sweet tooth.
Like what?
Like biscuits are pretty nice, aren't they? Like any sort of chocolate biscuit. My wife eats
Tim
a
Tam.
Fair bit of chocolate.
I love Tim Tams.
Yeah, but I find like I'm either full bore or I'm nothing. Like I just can't find that middle ground.
Yeah. Well, that's what Alex taught me because obviously she's a nutritionist.
Yeah.
She like noticed that with me, so I used to be like
up and down,
anal for 6 days, and then the day after a game, it'd just be like, go out for breakfast, we'd go out for lunch, we'd have a pizza for dinner.
Yeah,
she'd be like, you just eat one bad day a week, but then you're like unbelievably strict for six.
Yeah,
and I was like, I just find that easier. But now she'd be like, it's just like have good balance across 7 days, and it's just so easy.
Mm.
But yeah, that was hard shifting to that.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
I need Alex to do me a meal plan.
Yeah, yeah.
What's her website?
I don't even know if she has one, to be honest.
Yeah, hopeless. Hey, before we finish, what do you reckon about Jaden Stevenson's rising star chances? Because he's just come back in the field, or certainly from a betting point of view, or it feels like that race is evened up. You know, 2 months ago it was his award to win, but now Witherden, Dodé, etc.
Excuse me. That's all right.
Is he the winner of this year's Rising Star Award?
I think he is. And
why is that?
Oh, he plays in probably like one of the hardest spots to play in on the ground, a small forward, pressure forward, who's come in and kicked 34 goals already with 2 games to go. So he could potentially have a 40-goal season his first year. And we're talking like 34 goals the last couple of years wins the goal kicking here at this club.
I don't think any of our leading goal kickers have been that high for 5 or 6, like since Trav.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what Which I was crazy. Saying. Like last year, someone won it with like 28 or something,
yeah.
Or 30.
Faz.
So like,
Jamie.
Faz or Jamie or whatever. Sure. So I was like, his ability to come in and have that impact, like, is pretty scary. Like he's kicked 30 plus already in his first year, and he's like literally still the body of an under 18 kid.
Yeah,
and he's played every game. He hasn't had a rest or anything like that. And he's just, and he's an exciting talent. And he generally excites when he gets the footy. Like you can hear the crowd lift when he gets it because he takes people on.
Mm.
And, but there's some good players in the field, like the Witherden from Brisbane and Doody, or is it Doody or Doody from Adelaide. But I think
Ronk,
Jaden, Ronk,
Henry, Jack Henry.
Yeah, it's hard because you know if you can't like I heard Chris Fagan like statistically say if you have a look at the stats of Witherden, he's you know, almost like an elite halfback across many fields, but like you'd say the same about Steve-O playing as a small forward. He's probably elite across many fields, but you have a look, it's a lot harder, I reckon, to be an elite small forward.
Do you think you, I know you played a lot of junior footy on the wing, do you think he'll move into the midfield, or do you think he'll play the bulk of his AFL career forward?
Well, he doesn't, he's pretty humble, but he also is quite cheeky, Jaden. So he's telling me that he will play a little bit more in the forward line, but then when I retire in 2 years' time,
yep,
that he'll just take my spot.
On ball spot.
Yeah, so he said, like, when I'm done in 2 years, so he's just written me off after 2 years.
How'd you take that?
And what? Yes, mate, well...
Knock me off my perch.
No, I said, well, when you're ready to come in, let me know, and one pre-season, we'll go at it. So, yeah, but I don't...
He's probably got you covered off the mark. Like, the
you'd have me covered in most areas. Yeah, he's a freak of a talent for a young kid.
Let's see how he goes in the shoebox. That's where you do your best work in close.
So yeah, yeah.
Sell some candy.
But I think he'll win. But I thought the same thing about Heater when Heater was here and should have won the Rising Star and come third. So, yeah.
Can be a funny award. Lewis Taylor beat Bontempelli.
Yeah. But I think when Lewis Taylor beat Bontempelli, everyone looks back now and says Bontempelli's a better player, should have won. But first year. But we're having the debate
then,
before.
He was doing Bontempelli things.
Yeah, but we're having the debate before off air, weren't we, about should it be just like first year in the system? I would like that. So
and
your
then
first,
Tim Kelly gets it.
Or Tim Kelly would be in the argument to win it this year with Steve-O.
Oh, I reckon Tim Kelly's had a better year than Steve-O.
Yeah, so then that's why he'd be in the argument, wouldn't he? Because we'd debate that.
Oh, I said win.
I would like it if it was your first year. So
yep.
Because if you're 25, it's still your first year playing at this speed. You shouldn't be like, oh, well, you had a mature body. You had to wait 7 years for your chance.
Yeah, and it takes some of the
perseverance and all that by Tim Kelly to do what he's doing. Like, he never gave up. It's harder to do what he's done than as a first-round draft pick.
It's a good call.
So I'd like to see that. Because I reckon once you've played a game and you've done a whole, you know, a whole season, you've played I think my second year, I'd played nine before that year and come in and still get like Rising Star and whatever. It's like I should have been ineligible, I reckon.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a taste for it. I knew what was coming. I knew how hard you had to work in pre-season.
Yep.
These kids have no idea. They walk out round one, they're there.
And Brody Marchik has also been very important for you guys, hasn't he, in some injuries?
Checkers has been awesome.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, he had to wait 7 years for his...
Yeah, 7 years. As I said, that's harder. That's so much harder because they could have given up so many times.
Yeah.
Like I said, he waited 7 years, but he also missed out on seven drafts. So 7 years in a row, he got a massive kick in the guts.
You would have thought after five and six, you would have thought, my cards are marked.
Well, but like how
it
much...
It would have been easy.
Moment, yeah, 100%. At the moment, though, he's just loving life.
Yep.
It's so good to see.
Just on Brisbane, finally, I reckon there's a chance they might be a little bit overrated. You know, guess how many wins Brisbane have got?
Four.
How many Gold Coast got?
Four.
Well, what we're saying Gold Coast has got the worst team in the history
of
AFL.
Both times then, wasn't I?
Yeah, you were,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not about wins and losses. It's like competitiveness. And last year for us, everyone was like, you only had, I don't know, seven wins last year for us. But
you didn't get blown out.
We were also like, well, we were in so many games where we lost by two goals. We lost by, you know, 2.5 goals, all this type of stuff. Early in the year, we kicked ourselves out of games. Mm. So like, well, if we can, five of those games we've seen as we lost.
Mm.
So there's 12.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you're around the mark. It's different when you pluck a few here and there. I think Brisbane have been probably more competitive, which is to be fair, than Gold Coast.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Still, at the end of the day,
it's a
scoreboard-based business,
yeah,
Scott.
We're still in the business of a win-loss. I understand that. But I think, well, if I said to you, who do you think will be high on the ladder next year?
Brisbane.
Yeah.
Well, they could play finals, couldn't they?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, at the end of the day, we keep talking about Brisbane being the...
Oh, at some stage, though, it's like every club, and we went through that last year, it's like, well, the year before we sort of got like a pass mark because we're really competitive.
Yeah.
And then last year, though, was our year where competitive doesn't cut it because you need a win.
Mm, yeah.
And that will come for those clubs at some stage where it's like, it's no longer a tick to be competitive.
Yep.
You need to win games of football because it's almost easy after a while to get within three goals and lose.
Amazing the sliding doors moment, and we're not going to go into this, but the sliding doors moment of last year and the big decision the club made, obviously, on the coach and everything else, just how different this season could have looked had the board and co went down another path.
It would have been so different just because new coach, new game plan, he rates players differently, doesn't have the same relationship as what Bucks has with players.
Yeah.
yeah, then it would be like you probably need like 2 years of turnout, because that's where our industry is really weird, that you come in as a senior coach and you don't get to pick your staff.
Yep.
So you come in, yep, and then you have to turn your staff over to what you want, which is takes probably 2 years.
What's Clarko's favourite song?
I'm not too sure.
Quickest fix is stability? Yeah, yeah,
the quickest fix in football is stability.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I think I told you that.
Did you?
Yeah. Thanks
for your wisdom.
Yeah. No, well, it's not mine. It was Clarko's. But that's strange, though, about our game. So you get given the most important role at a football club that I'd say is the coach.
Yep.
And you come in and you don't have your dream staff that you want. Then you get like 2 years to try and turn that all around. But then your third year, if you don't have success, it's like the cutthroat year.
And that's what Roosie's been saying about Brendan Bolton. Like, he walked into a club and he's going
probably
through
wouldn't have known anybody when he first gets there.
Maybe not.
He's done a few interviews and then walks in and has to be like, I got to get to meet all these people and I'm expected to lead the charge on and off the field.
Mm. Yeah. Lastly, are you frustrated by the injury count?
No. It hasn't. Seriously, it doesn't really enter my mind other than feeling for the guys who go down.
Yeah.
It just is what it is. So clearly everyone here would love for it to have like what Richmond's got,
mm-hmm,
but we don't. And yeah, I think we've shown that even with like the Sydney game last week, it doesn't matter a whole deal.
But it just does because Jack Madgen plays on Buddy and that wins in the game. So it does have a huge bearing. Argument falls down.
Yeah, we'd look at the Sydney loss and be like, look how many contests we lost up the field that gives Buddy a one out. Buddy's going to beat whoever. He's the best forward of the time.
Jeremy Howe plays, you win that game, surely.
Well, because who's playing on Buddy? Like, Buddy's getting the ball one out inside 50, to his advantage side. Like, good luck to anyone. Mm. So, yeah, and then on the weekend, like, Hitwood, guys like that, the ball went in there 28 times after the first quarter.
Mm.
It's pretty hard to kick a winning score when it's only going in there that many times.
You got a Tom Lynch update for Collingwood fans before we go?
Oh, I haven't seen him, to be honest.
You'd be the only one by the sounds
of things. Yeah, sounds like everyone's having a coffee with him, doesn't it? So,
Have you been calling Ned Guy the Hurdler?
The jumping over fence or whatever. Didn't he do his hamstring or something as well? That's the story, wasn't it? But yeah, it's good to see. Like, we're the only club who talks to players.
Yes.
So we're the only club that can get in trouble for it, because no one else tries to recruit players or anything like that at this stage of year.
This is amazing, that, isn't it?
Yeah, well, everyone just waits till October when contracts are out. Like, because every other club, but this one's pretty professional.
I'm pretty sure Gold Coast have been speaking to a big-name player also, which would be a bit hypocritical in sort of retrospect, wouldn't it?
Okay. No, well, they're probably just doing it behind closed doors, so it's fine.
It's hypocritical.
Yeah.
It's only because what Nathan Buckley
said it
on TV, which to me doesn't make any bloody difference.
Didn't make any difference at all.
Because we're not
sure. Tell
me
Tom Lynch got his decision decided because of that. Give me a spell.
That's what I would have thought.
Yeah, yeah.
Favourite movie before we go?
I don't really know. You?
It was your choice of topic.
No. What did I watch? I watched Escarcio or something the other night.
What's that about?
Got me thinking, because I've got watching Netflix heaps at the moment.
Yeah.
And I know it's not a new thing, but I'm new onto Netflix.
Yeah.
And just the movie choices. Exquisite.
Exquisite. So many. Just sit on the couch.
I love how he walks in.
Shooter.
I've got this thing called Netflix.
I love like anything that's got like suspense and like crime.
Yeah.
Anything. So just love like the good, like, good cop trying to get like this person.
Yep.
I watched Snitch last night with The Rock in it. No, just those type of stories. Love it. So if you got any requests out there, send it through. What's yours?
The Departed?
Yeah, seen that. I've seen like all
that's
of those.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah. I'm probably going to rewatch that tonight.
Usual Suspects?
Haven't seen that.
You haven't seen that? Usual Kaiser Soze?
No.
Oh,
I
that's
will.
A, that's
yeah,
a
okay. I'll get on to that.
Sammy?
Yeah.
Seven in that category.
Oh,
Brad
yeah.
Pitt, Morgan Freeman.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
that is gruesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that when there's put a head in the box?
Yeah, spoiler alert for anyone that hasn't seen it.
Yeah,
You recommended to me Game of Thrones last year.
Yeah.
Yourself and our former co-host, Braden Cox.
What about Power? Have you watched Power?
Nah.
Get on to Power.
Is it?
Yeah. TV series on Stan called Power. It's good. 50 Cent.
Okay.
What else? Anything else? Do you want a Conor McGregor update?
Yeah, go on.
So he's fighting October 7 versus Khabib. I don't even know how to say it. Nurmagomedov or something, his last name. So Khabib is 26-0.
Wow.
Versus Conor in Vegas, October 7. This is like, so this is the guy kind of threw the chair out on the bus.
Ooh.
And like, so all hell broke loose. Yeah. So, and he's Russian.
Yeah.
Scary. Ooh. It's going to be like
massive. So it's
going
to be on, is it?
Yeah. Massive. Okay. I can't wait for that.
Make it over for it?
No, I won't go for it. I actually, like, I've been to live sport, like live combat sport, and it's really hard to see because you're below the ring.
Yeah.
So you need to watch it on TV, but it's going to be like the build up is going to be insane.
Sitting at home with your mates on the couch watching that sort of stuff is not a bad option in the end.
No, no way. Yeah, it will save you the airfares, the flights, the tickets, the beers, the one beer.
The one beer for you. Scotty, good luck with the wellness centre in your new house and the infrared sauna. And Port Adelaide on Saturday at the MCG.
Yeah.
Missing a few players, so are they. 14 wins would guarantee a finals berth, so it's a big game. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Sammy Gaston, thanks for helping putting this together. Anytime. Next episode, we are going to try and get more out of you again, so we'll keep on working on that, mate. Just talk over us. It's Jay Clark, Scotty Penderbury, and Sammy Gaston. We'll see you next week on the Jock and Journo Show.
Thank you.